Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Yeah. Here we are.
Let's go.
Number 5.
Yesterday, Face the Nation, the president of the NRA, Wayne LaPierre, sat down to deny a need for gun control in America. He dismissed calls for action on the assault weapons.
I think we need to look right in the face of what these people are that we're facing. They don't care about the law. Laws didn't stop them in Boston. Laws didn't stop them in San Bernardino, where you had every type of gun control law you could have. And they didn't stop them in Paris, where people can't even own guns. They had fully automatic guns. They had ICDs. They had explosives. I mean, these bad guys we're facing, they don't say, oh, gosh, they passed a law. Oh, gosh, I don't think I can do it. It's like what we're doing with this debate on the Hill right now. It's like they're trying to stop a freight train with a piece of Kleenex.
It's the common argument, isn't it? There's the two sides that have aligned themselves in America right now. It's tough. If you even suggest that an AR-15 doesn't belong in the hand of a civilian, they go nuts, right? And then you have the president saying these are human killing machines and don't belong in the hands of regular folks.
You framed it perfectly. Well, that's the issue. And it is the issue now is up on Capitol Hill, they're going to have these debates. And the reality is that to the point that bad guys can get guns if they want to get them, right? Regardless of what the laws have been. But these guns, both in San Bernardino and in Orlando, were legally purchased. Mm-hmm. And shouldn't there be some form of being able to screen potentially threatening people? But how do you do that? Maybe that's fantasy, right? Because somebody who today is sane and capable of handling a weapon like that,
right,
or responsible owner, maybe tomorrow
snaps. Do something.
I don't know the answer to that, but it's not good. But nobody comes out looking good in these circumstances, I have found, including Wayne LaPierre.
Very true.
He continued to insist that terrorists are coming for America, and then instead of thinking about ways to curb access to dangerous weapons, people should make plans to stay safe in the case of one.
They're not going to attack hard targets. All the hard targets are protected by the government with guns. They're going to go for vulnerabilities. They're going to go for shopping malls. They're going to go for churches. The fact is, we need vigilance. We need preparedness. We need a full court press on personal protection. We need to be able to protect ourselves.
Donald Trump has suggested concealed carry in a nightclub where people are drinking.
I don't think you should have firearms where people are drinking, but I'll tell you this. Every American needs to start having a security plan. We need to be able to protect ourselves because they're coming.
Makes me feel good.
By the way, that little sort of gloss over there, this is the first time I've ever heard a gun spokesman disagree with a Republican candidate because they weren't going far, because the Republican candidate actually outpaced the NRA.
Haven't they endorsed Donald Trump?
Yes.
Yeah.
But this idea that, yeah, well, then everybody should have them. Shouldn't everybody have them? Yeah, I mean, in nightclubs. Yeah, but believe me, if there were guns in the nightclub, it'd be just fine. Does Trump allow that in his own hotels? The nightclubs that he owns, does he allow people to have concealed carry firearms if they're around alcohol?
No, and he doesn't allow them on some of his properties. It depends on where you're talking about. But in Florida, at the golf course, no. The New York hotel, no. Trump hotel here, no.
Where does he allow them?
There was an article written about how in certain areas where the laws allow you, you have to report it to when you check in and that you have it. But it's in certain cities around the world kind of thing.
Okay. So. Checking in at
number 4.
Joe Biden didn't mention Donald Trump by name during a keynote address at the Center for New American Security Conference today. But in a thinly veiled critique of the Trumpster's foreign policy, Biden attacked political rhetoric, saying it could be detrimental to national security.
From our ability to lead by example and draw partners to our side, that's what has always been America's greatest capability. Not empty bluster, not a sense of entitlement that fundamentally disrespects our partners, not an attitude and insecurity of a bully.
What does they're talking on all the cable news networks today about how Joe Biden will be hitting the campaign trail soon for Hillary Clinton, that she's going to have the president working for her and all these powerful Democrats and Biden as well. You wonder.
Do you think Uncle Joe right now is thinking to himself, why didn't I do this?
Right.
Why didn't I do it?
How do we win this long-term fight? Well, embracing, engaging, and having allies in the Islamic community in the United States, among American citizens and immigrants. ISIL wants to manufacture the clash of civilizations. They want Americans to view things in terms of us versus them. Why in God's name are we giving them what they want?
Have you ever noticed that when Joe Biden's making a speech, it always sounds like he's in an empty room?
There's like silence.
There's
something.
Always silence.
It's like a closet or something.
It does not matter. You know, you listen to like Hillary Clinton and you hear other people. You hear Donald Trump. You hear other people.
When Joe
Biden talks, it sounds like he's in a closet and he's just talking to himself. It's weird. I can't figure it out.
Because people don't react when he speaks. Is that it? Because you usually hear a little clapping, a little, I don't know, something back from the audience.
You normally do. But I think it's because they're asleep. I think it's because he's like human ambient. I don't know.
Maybe that's it.
Weird. It's like we're living in his own thought bubble.
Which is why it occasionally goes to strange places, I
right.
think.
Right. There's a little echo in it, and it mm-hmm. just give me this here, listen.
A little echo, yeah.
How do we win this long-term fight? Well, embracing, engaging, and having allies in the Islamic community in the United States.
Remember? Right. That's
so true.
It sounds like he's in his own in his own head.
When I saw him speak at Navy Pier, and now I'm remembering in my mind, yes, that's how it sounded. Exactly the same way. Packed, crowded, grand ballroom, and that's how it sounded.
Right. I don't get it.
Next, he's like, what am I having for dinner?
Right. Wait a minute. That's what I'm
supposed
to say.
Is it hot at the South Pole?
I wonder what Violetta Podramatic is thinking right now about the South Pole.
How do the polar bears live?
We shouldn't actually be having this thought. We should be thinking about Donald Trump. But I can't. What if I had only run for president? That's his thought bubble
friend. In fact, he was introduced at that event by someone. The woman who introduced him said, he's the ideal candidate. And there was this sort of nervous laughter and everything.
See, that proved there were people there.
There were people there. They reacted to that. Just we didn't hear them after that.
I'm wondering, what should I have for dinner? I had chicken at lunch. Fish sounds good. Too many bones. Steak, too much. Gives me acid reflux. All right, there's your that maybe I've answered my own question. Why didn't he run?
I
just answered mm-hmm. it.
Weekday mornings, 4 to 10. It has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News, Chicago's must-watch morning news.
All right, Top 5-5 continues right here on The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis checking in at...
Number 3.
Mayor Emanuel looking for a compromise proposed to receive an agreement to postpone city council votes this week on stricter rules for companies, including Uber and Lyft. Actually, they just passed this, right? This happened since we've written this.
Mm-hmm.
So the easing of restrictions on Uber and Lyft have just occurred. And here's what they want to do. The council agreed to propose a six-month study on fingerprinting drivers for background checks.
Basically, buy some time.
If we have to pay more, the fare is going to increase for the rider. So it affects everybody. The city council just needs to sit down and relax.
Very, very disappointed.
It really means a lot that this stays here because it's very difficult for a single mom to find extra ways to make money.
So the Uber and Lyft people came out to City Hall to to talk about why they should be able to not obey any of the rules that cab drivers have to obey.
Yeah, they don't have to fingerprint the drivers right now. They don't have to go through the same government background checks. They have their own private company do the background checks, which is very different and does not involve fingerprinting. So the taxi companies are saying, whoa, we have to do this, and we have to have a certain percentage of our fleet that's devoted to accessible disabilities and people who have certain needs, but they don't. So it's but Uber and Lyft are very well-funded companies, and there is a lot of pushback on any attempt to try to regulate them further.
Right. And Rahm Emanuel seems to be very influential here in telling people that don't worry about it. It's all going to be fine. And his brother, Ari Emanuel, has a significant investment in Uber.
True.
Now, I don't know that that's a conflict or not, because I don't know that he and his brother are, you know, he's protecting his brother or not.
I was just in a taxi yesterday, and the driver cited that very fact and said, how is he going to decide? How is he going to decide? His brother is, like, you know, making all this money off of Uber.
Maybe he hates his brother. Hates him. I don't know.
Maybe he wants to get his brother, get him back for something. Who knows?
But he's not. He's helping Uber at this particular juncture. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Following the 93-89 loss to the Cavs in Game 7 of the NBA Finals, Golden State Warriors guard Stephen Curry said his team had a great regular season, but now it just hurts.
Aww. Had a great regular season, did something no team's ever done before, fell short in the last game of the season. It hurts, man. I mean, yeah, that's all I'm really kind of marinating on right now. It stung. It sucked to watch them, you know, celebrate, and wish that would have been us. But at the end of the day, you congratulate them for accomplishing what they set out to do.
Mm-hmm. I think he's such an exciting player.
He shoots threes from nearly half court, but
effortlessly, and he's always got a smile on his face, like he's enjoying the game. Except for when they ejected him, he didn't have a smile then. But you know, he's generally one of those players that's just fun to watch, I think.
Well, and it appears that Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen may be the two happiest people on earth that the Cleveland Cavaliers won, because Dennis Rodman took to Twitter. He says, congrats, Cavs, for winning the title. You had a great regular season, but the greatest team of all time is the 95-96 Bulls. Scottie Pippen talked about it earlier as well, saying that the 73 win mark doesn't mean anything without the championship. Mm-hmm. So those two are really enjoying themselves right now.
That's true.
Rubbing
that
it in.
That's true. There will forever be an asterisk next to that. Mm-hmm. 73-9.
Yeah, I mean it was an incredible season, but everybody kept saying that. And when they were up 3-1, I think everybody was.
This is what happened to the Mariners too, right? When Seattle set the record for most wins by a Major League Baseball team,
116-118, and they lost in the first round.
Yeah. Let's hope that doesn't happen here. Well, Chicago does not have a – Chicago finishes out, right? Right, Kev?
That's right.
That's right. They don't need muscle milk for that, pal.
Number one.
There's been a lot of comedy that's come out of that North Carolina House Bill 2. That's the transgender bathroom one where they don't these boy girls now going into a bathroom and molesting our children.
Mm-hmm. What they don't want.
That's what they say. And I like the fact that it's House Bill 2 in North Carolina. You mean they've only had two House bills in the entire?
It makes you wonder. Usually, you know, the bills have these really long, complicated numbers in front of them.
Yeah. But no, there's only been two House bills. The first one was to get all upset about the flag, and the other one was to get all upset about the trannies.
Might be in order of importance. You're right. Number one and two priorities.
Funny or Die has produced a country song. Now,
oh no,
that takes on the issue.
This might sound crazy, but I'm a simple guy. I want my laws to keep me safe when I unzip my fly. The public men's room should be safe like a cocoon. I only want to hear a real man in my bathroom. Want to hear.
Too bad it's Funny or Die, because otherwise they might have played that on the House floor or something when they were voting.